The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Carolee Pridmore. She is also known as the Updo Queen. She is the owner of Sweetly Pin Hair and Makeup, and she's amazing at what she does. Today, she's going to be talking about specializing in your service, and also she's going to be giving you guys some Instagram secrets and hacks that she's kind of seen that have worked very well for keeping her content engaging and continuing to be able to grow her following. So I'm super excited to introduce Carolee Pridmore.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Real Beauty Bosses. Today, I have Carolee here. She's the owner of Sweetly Pin Hair, right? She's from Ohio, and she's been in the business for about 5 years, but you've been licensed for about 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so right now you're running a team of 6 to 7 girls, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And we actually found you. You were featured on Modern Salon 100, right?
Yes, I was.
Awesome. So that's actually where we found you on. So I appreciate the time out of your day so we could kind of ask you a few questions. I kind of wanted to, you're at a stage where I think a lot of people are at, where they've started to kind of get a little bit of momentum and traction, and they're starting to build their team, right? But they're trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to kind of move above and beyond from there. But you're still at an area where you've seen a lot of success, especially, you know, you have a big following, almost like 8,000 followers right on Instagram.
So people are starting to really feel that big.
Yeah.
But it is.
and I think, like, obviously, like, for you, I've seen, like, a lot of your posts get a lot of engagement. So I know that, like, it's not a bunch of fake followers. And I think, like, a lot of people focus so much on, like, what's my follower count?
But yeah.
Really, like, what's most important is the quality. Because, like, what you really have to think about is, like, honestly, if I have just, like, 1,000, like, real people who follow me and, like, engage with me and comment and, you know, want to learn more of what I have to do, that's all I need, right? So, like, you don't need 100,000 followers who never even, you know, maybe see your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus only had 12 followers. So that's what they say. So,
and so
I tell people that all the time.
So, like, I think, like, it's all about building it organically. And I think you've done a pretty good job from that, from what I've seen. But today I kind of just wanted to kind of ask you a couple questions here, kind of get a feel for your background, your experience, kind of what your experience has been to get to where you're at, but also maybe like some of the struggles you may have encountered along the way, right? So maybe give us a little of your story and your background of where you kind of decided that getting into event styling was a good idea.
Okay, so I knew I wanted to do hair when I was like 13. My mom actually used to just like give me a quarter to do her hair when I was really young. So I started getting into hair early. And then I was like, I just decided to go to a cosmetology school that was like a career tech center when I was in high school. And so I graduated from high school with my cosmetology license. And then I started immediately working in a small town salon. It was like a full service salon. And they did like perm sets every Friday. And I would be shampooing and wash, like shampooing the hair and all that. So that wasn't really my passion. I mean, I know everybody has to start somewhere. And so I knew that that was going to be like a growing pain. But I did that for a while. And then I wasn't really feeling the full service scale. Now I might eventually get into that, but like at that point in my life, I was like, I just really want to do styling. That's what I'm passionate about. But Ohio is pretty small, and like I told you over the phone, like we don't have any Kim Kardashians or any Taylor Swift, so you know, it's kind of hard to find people who want you to style their hair every single day. So my sister is a pretty big photographer in the area, and so I was really like excited when she mentioned that I should start doing wedding hair. And so, you know, in the meantime of working at that full service salon, I kind of switched careers, and I ended up becoming a secretary because I wanted a really like, you know, 9-to-5, like what is it, like just secure, not security, but this, what is the word I'm looking for?
I'm trying to think. Okay.
When you do stuff routinely.
Yeah, just kind of a...
Just a routine, really. So I wanted a routine.
Make sure that when you want to do something on the side, you can, but you don't, like, there's no pressure.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to make sure I had, like, an income that was coming in every week that I could rely on. But then I also still really was, like, pursuing the hair thing. And so to do both, I was maintaining my hair license at night, cutting at great clips. And I did that, you know, two or three nights a week. And that became a lot. So then my sister suggested that I should get into the wedding hair stuff. And so I started just putting my work out there on Instagram. I actually didn't learn about hashtagging properly until I was about 3 years into Instagram. So I had had Instagram. I was like one of the first a few, I'm sure, to have it, because I got it in like 2012.
Yeah.
And if I would have just, you know, researched it a little bit more, maybe maybe things would have been a little different. But I just,
we're all just like first getting familiar.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy though, like some people like who kind of figured it out early and maybe like they did the right things unexpectedly. Like
I know. I know.
That shows you like how important it is to like really like, you know, find a way that you can use like all these new platforms that come out. Like I'm sure like, in a year or so there's gonna be something new. You know, and so like it's super important to like you know that like, you know, while maybe if you test something out, like just test everything and like and try to, you know, see if there's, you know, a chance that maybe you know, maybe I reach more people over here, right?
Yeah. You know, I 100% agree with that. It's like even like Pinterest, you know, in the meantime, since Instagram, Pinterest is huge. And I got on Pinterest too when it first came out and I like didn't know. So I think that's really important is like really knowing what is coming out, what's cool, like what people are catching on to. And so I did finally figure that out. And then I like started looking at Modern Salon stuff and Behind the Chair and all that. And I was like, oh, these people are getting featured and like these companies have so many, you know, people following them. And so I just made it my goal to like really focus on trying to stay consistent and like posting every day. But you know, I also, and at that time, my main priority was like getting wedding hair business. So, I didn't even really care about getting reposted that much at that point. So, if it happened though, I was like super excited. I didn't really understand it. And then, yeah, so I started getting, I think I had, my first year, my goal was like 5 weddings. Well, I had 10 weddings booked. And so I just did it like any other company. I would send proposals and get deposits and just mark everything down in my calendars. And I was, you know, started out fairly low and then adjusted that as time's gone on. Yeah. And with experience, you know, experience is everything. And so, yeah, so that's just kind of how I got into that. And then my goal was to gain 5 weddings every year. That was my 5-year plan. And then I ended up surpassing that with a lot of weddings. You know, I think we average about between the team and I probably about 50 to 60 weddings a year, maybe 40 on the low end. But like right now I think we're on pace to do 49 this year, which, you know, I don't like to book out. There's companies who do this and it's no problem for them, but like to book out multiple weddings in a day. But I really like to focus on, like for me, I don't have a huge attention span. And so having a big team, I really want us to focus on one wedding every weekend. Okay. So whether I send out my girls to a separate wedding or not, it's just one wedding. Like, you know, so we might have 2 weddings in a weekend, but it's just our team split up. So I like to do that way. But yeah, that's just kind of how I got into that.
Sorry. Did you start out like with just being you? Then how did you kind of start building your team?
I kind of skipped over all that. So, I was doing hair by myself for 4 years. And then last year, I branched into hair and makeup. So I was getting a lot of requests, for makeup and kind of how that whole growing pains or whatever, like your experiences come full circle. So I had made a lot of friends with makeup artists in the area doing weddings on my own. Yeah. And so then it kind of led to friendships and we were recommending each other. And so then last year I just kind of decided like, I'm sick of having brides ask me for makeup and then I can't offer it to them. Like it made me feel bad. I was like, I want to be able to offer both. But I don't really want to do makeup because it's a lot of extra luggage to carry, a lot of extra tools to buy. And you know, more importantly, I want to really focus on my craft, which is updos, braids, and all of that.
And real quick, like, I think like that is super important to note that like you didn't really like just jump into doing makeup.
Oh yeah, no.
And like I think a lot of stylists and people in the beauty industry, they'll try to do like 100 different services.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas like maybe I think what I think is the best idea is what you just said is like you want to focus on your one thing, but if more you're finding that like that's what your audience wants or like
yeah.
Your
I mean, it's the same principle as Instagram, really. Your engagement, your reach, your like, what are people interested in? And yeah, and when they're asking me for makeup, it was like, okay, well, the girls that I work with all the time, you know, and that I send these brides to, we like working with each other, obviously. And so if I can take this off their plate and they don't have to worry about scheduling and doing all the hard work and communicating and, you know, you think a wedding is just one day, but it's like, this is the most important day to someone. Like, they're getting married. This is their big day. And so there has to be a lot of communication there, and they have to feel comfortable telling you if they don't like something. I stress that in all of my trial runs. Like, I don't want you to be sitting here and I'm doing your hair and then you say, I love it, and then walk out and cry. Like, that's very important to me that you tell me if you like your style or not. So I always really to have that transparency and just like open communication with like our brides and, you know, anyone really that is,
yeah,
that wants to talk to me about hair, I'll talk to him about it.
I think that's so important too. Like, you know, that's the problem. Like, a lot of people complain that, like, oh, you didn't say anything, but maybe you didn't ask, you know, to let
yeah.
them know, like, if there's something wrong, like, or, you know, you feel that we should be doing something different, like, you know, I may be the expert in, you know, the space, but if you're not happy with it, like, we got to
yeah.
make that, you know, we can meet in between. And, like, have you ever had, like, a bad experience of someone who's, like, you know,
that just doesn't like it?
Yeah, they didn't like it, but they didn't say anything, but then they, like, nagged about it later? Is that
well, not that I know of.
Yeah.
Now, I do tell people, though, before I leave, because I'm very honest, and I say, if I walk out of here and I find out that you changed your hair, because I get all the pictures back, like, I know. So if I find out that you changed your hair and you weren't happy with it, but then you tell me that you're happy with it, I'm not going to be very happy because I'm asking you if you're happy with it. So that's kind of how I just address it, because I'm like, I want you to like it. And I have had bridesmaids, you know, before, where I had one a couple weeks ago, and she felt so bad. I mean, she just came up to me. It was like maybe the third style I had started. And she's like, I don't know. You know, I think I kind of want it a little different, and I feel so bad. And I'm like, don't feel bad. That's you guys are paying me to do something for you. Like, it's fine. The time is permitted, and I've allowed that time in our timeline. And that's all part of being the professional, is maybe you have to arrive a half an hour early because you want to make sure you, you know, cross all your T's, dot all your I's. Like, I just, yeah. So
oh, yeah.
That's all been, you know, I didn't know that in the beginning, though. I have learned a lot of this just from experience and
yeah.
everything coming full circle. So
have you ever had to deal with a bad review or anything like that, that like was kind of unexpected? Or anything?
I haven't.
Like,
I hope I don't jinx myself.
Questions I've seen, and something I actually like just saw the other day, was like, sometimes people will like get bad reviews, but like they're not even people that they like had even like
yeah.
talked to. And so like, yeah. I didn't know if like maybe you had experienced anything, like, you know, even if it was someone that you worked with, that maybe like, you know, how do you handle something like that? It's like a big question that I've seen it happen. I don't know if you maybe
yeah.
been in the space long enough to see like how other people have.
Well, I think, okay, that's the thing to do, though, is everybody loves to go and review everything right now. So, I mean, and that's, it's one of the things that it's going to continue to only get worse or better. I mean, who knows? But I do ask all of our brides to review us and let us know how we're doing. And, like, you know, we enjoy getting feedback so that we can fix anything if we didn't make them happy.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm really grateful because I haven't had to deal with that. But, you know, I think in that situation, if something does happen, even there's been times even when I have had a bad experience somewhere and I really want to write a review because I'm just like, but then I remember that we're all human. And, you know, sometimes people just have bad days, and maybe that's not a reflection on their company. Maybe that's a reflection on something that is going on with that person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I definitely try to handle situations like that just with, you know, just grace, basically.
I think some people take it too personally, but I think, like, maybe some of the reasons that you haven't had anything like that is because you make sure to, like, address any, you know, problems or
yeah.
before they happen, right? Instead of,
yeah.
you know, leaving it up to them.
Well, and I like to say things loud enough, too, like, when I'm there, do you like it? Yes, okay. Well, then, you know, if it does come back around where they leave me a review, then I can say, well, did everyone hear her say that? Like, I don't know.
I'm with you. I completely 100%. I think your client service, though, from what you told me, is like, you really have to get to know who you're working with, and you have to really like make them understand that, like, you know, they're paying you money, and like, it's their money, but, you know, while you may be the expert in the field, you still want to, you know,
right.
You're still yeah. serving them.
Well, because, like, from my experience is millennials don't have problems spending money. They want to know that their money's going towards something that's going to, like, that they're going to appreciate, that's really worth it, basically.
Right.
It's yeah. like, I have no problem spending money on certain things, but I want to make sure I'm getting my money's worth.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think that that's really important. I mean, and how I portray myself to my clients is I want them to know, like, I know how much you're paying and I want you to know, like, I know that and I understand it. And I was a bride once too. So like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well, I know we kind of digressed a little bit. We let's maybe get back to how, at what point did you feel that you needed to start building your team and kind of start getting some help for bigger projects and things like that? Was there maybe like a point where you had a big job that you were like, oh man, I can't do this all on my own? Or what made you like the first, you know?
One of the girls on my team, she graduated with me a year ahead and we've been friends for a long time. And so she was just kind of my go-to person to call when I had big weddings. Cause I'd be like, oh, can you help me? I know you're still in the salon and like, you like doing updos. And that's the thing too. You don't want people on your team who don't really want to be doing updos. Some people just do things for money. Some people do things cause they're really passionate about it. So I really, you know, just want people who are passionate about it. So I've found those people along the way and I, you know, can call them and just ask. I'm sorry, something's going on with my computer. Okay. So I can just call them and ask if I have a big party, you know, I need help for this because a lot of wedding venues don't let you start until later. You know, we've run into the problem where they don't let you start till like 9, 10 or 11. And then you'll have people with a larger bridal party that don't know. And they're like, can you have us done by, you know, 1 or 2? And it's like, that's not, you know, you have to have help for that. So I just kind of started asking around and that was again, like me meeting people through the industry and even meeting my makeup artists when they were like, oh, I've worked with so-and-so and they're really good. And, you know, they could help you out or whatever. So just kind of like a chain reaction, just like, I need help here. And then people would reach out. So
was that hard to do at first? Or did you kind of like, you said it was people who you knew pretty well, right?
And so
like, maybe it wasn't too hard to kind of let them know like what you wanted and like how you let them know like, hey, this is what I want, this is what we want to do. Like obviously it's you're the owner of your business, right?
And yeah,
so you have to make sure that things are still the way you want. And I'm sure maybe, you know, working with friends sometimes can be a little difficult too. But have you had any like struggles with that along the way as far as
You know, I think I just tell them that I want things cohesive. And they're all independent, you know, stylists as well. So like they do weddings on their own, even without me. You know, so I trust their judgment and their calls when it comes to certain things. So I feel like the girls I have on my team, like they know my style and they knew kind of when they started working for me, what I was going to expect.
Yeah.
I did tell them, you know, if there's ever a thing that would arise at a trial run or something, because that's the other thing, we do trial runs. So that really helps too. Cause like you get to know the bride, you get to do more extensive like questions and asking, you know, what are your bridesmaids going to want, things like that. So as far as that goes, like I would say we're cohesive. And I knew that when I brought them onto my team. And I also respect them and I know their professionalism.
Yeah.
So like, you know, a lot of people do have to worry about that when they're growing, if you grow really fast.
Yeah.
I think that's probably when you have to worry about that more. But because I am a slow Sally and I just like take my time to make sure things are going right. I just kind of make sure that whoever I have work for me, we all are on a same playing field.
I can relate to that too. I think like sometimes it's better to kind of take your time and be able to lay the foundation first because if you like and you try to move too fast, it'll fall apart. And like that happens to us personally too, because you know, with us getting started out with what we do so young, like when we first got started, we were, you know, got to the point where like we needed some help. We hired people that we thought could help us and it was good at the time, but like we rushed a lot. And so like we tried to do so many different things that like things kind of started to, you know, get very hectic and crazy, right?
Because
really like come back to the drawing board and be like, whoa, like we need to actually, you know, document the way we want everything, you know, lay the foundation.
Yeah.
Everything continues to go the way that we started it, so we're not going 100 directions.
Yeah, I think that's really important to do because I always take a step back too, and I'm like, okay, you know, why if something doesn't go my way, why doesn't it go this way or whatever? And when you're managing people, you know, you have to be respectful, but at the same time, you know, okay, well, I'm paying you to do a job, so this is how I want it done. And if you don't want to do it, then you have a way out. Like I do tell people that because I don't want anyone to ever work for me that feels forced.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're all independent. So it's like, you know, you don't have to do this wedding this weekend if you don't want to. You can do something else. But, like, let me know and show me the same respect that I'm showing you.
Right.
You so.
Kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
Ends up working out. But
yeah.
So right now, What are you really focusing on in the business right now? Is there, how do you kind of set goals for yourself, and how do you kind of figure out, you know, you said you started out with like, you know, 5 weddings per year, would be good, right? But you blew right
down,
right?
Yeah.
What do you really look at now as far as like goal setting and where you want to be, you know, as far as, you know, here I am now, but here's where I want to maybe be like here and here.
Yeah.
Or do you do it individually or both?
I do it individually and with my team. Like I have, that's what's weird. Like I have two sets of goals, like my personal goals. I mean, they all tie together, but my personal goals are definitely to become an educator, figuring out, you know, like I said, I had to have a specialty kind of when I was, or consistency when I was starting on Instagram. So like now I'm kind of reflecting on all that and I'm like, okay, I want to really specialize in updos. There are a lot of people who can do everything, but I really want people to think of, when they think of me, she's the updo queen. Like I just want people to do that. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on personally right now, like really just making that stick with people. And also, you know, the engagement, and I would like to grow my following on Instagram, but at the same time, like my engagement is really important to me. Yeah. Getting people to talk back and like make them laugh. Yeah. Like I've been trying to, you know, just incorporate like more authentic things about me on my stories and stuff. So I mean, as far as personal goals go, it would be to become an educator. Really just like be known for updos, you know, get more of that social conversation from social media, like, and know that people care, and like, and know that I care about people. Like, I don't ever want it to be like take. I definitely want people to know, hey, I'm here to answer questions for you. I'm here to help you or whatever. But then I would say that that's probably the biggest thing to me right now is educating and getting into that realm and trying to figure out, you know, maybe even educating online, just things like that. I really would love to have an app if we're going to throw dreams out there. Yeah. I just think it'd be really cool to have a hair app.
Yeah. Those are awesome goals to have. I mean, like, cause you're at the phase where like, you know, you could probably, you know, take the business much, much further, but like also you're really trying to focus on like really specializing in being one thing. Like updos is like, you want to be between, like you just said.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, I think, very important to note that like specialization and really like getting good at one thing and one thing in particular will get you to that expert stage where then you can be able to do all the types of other things. Whereas if you know, I'm going to be the best at makeup, I'm going to be the best at hair, I'm going to do, you know, this, you know, no one is going to really like connect with that because there's so many other people who do 100 other things. Whereas if fairly in all I do, or what I'm the best at, I do a lot of different things, but the thing that I've specialized in and become the absolute best at is updos and, you know, I think that's super important. And what I think a lot of people think, like, it's you'll make more money when you add more services, whereas like
no, if you specialize in something, then you can be the best at that, and then you can tell this person, this is what I'm charging, and people will pay what they want to get what they want if they're getting quality. So I think that's really important. And then like as far as our my company's goals, I would say, you know, growing. I think that's why, like, last year I started with just my main three girls, and I was like, let's take it, you know, year by year and just kind of see how it goes. If it doesn't work out this first year, I haven't 100% committed, so we can just, you know, it's one of those things. If it doesn't work out, if the people aren't liking it, then we're not going to do it. Yeah. But, you know, people like it, and they like our team, and they respect our team, and so I think that that's important for me, like, setting goals every year of growing, but managing it and not becoming overwhelmed and stressed. And then just you know, and being recognized as one of the main, you know, people to go to here. Like, I want people to see our team and be like, that's Sweetly Pen Hair and Makeup. Like, I love their work. I follow them on everything. And to feel really special. Like, I think it's really important to make our clients feel special and like posting their wedding pictures and stuff on Instagram and like showcasing not only our work but them and like their big day. And as far if like my big dream goals for Sweetly Pen Hair Makeup is to branch into all the big wedding areas. So like Florida and, you know, maybe like Nashville, Tennessee, you know, those are big goals, but.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's better to set like those bigger goals like now rather than wait until
you get
there, because then even if you come close to it, you know, you reset your goals higher, right?
And yeah.
I think of what a lot of people skip is even setting goals in the first place and just like waiting for things to happen. There's like, you don't have a target to look at. I mean,
yeah,
to know where you're going, right? what's maybe been one of the biggest struggles that you faced, like, since you first got started, that you maybe it was one of those hair-wrenching moments or like...
Oh, what hasn't been? Organized, like staying organized was a really hard one for me. I'm very scatterbrained. My best friends are all like type A and I am not. I'm just like everywhere. So I've really had to buckle down and like learn how to do the business side of things. So that was probably my biggest struggle, is just figuring out how am I going to like send invites to people. I mean, it makes sense. Like a lot of the things that take me a while to figure out, they're pretty simple things, but like once I figure them out, I'm like, oh my gosh, like it took me 5 years to figure out how to use iMovie, but I did. And I was like, okay, why didn't anyone show me this?
Right. That's super important, like to still spend the time working like on the business, like from the outside perspective, not as much like inside, because like you can easily get stuck in like, you know, maybe there's just one extra thing that maybe you spend an hour or two learning that like,
yeah,
a hell of a lot easier.
Yes. Yeah.
I completely relate to that. But
yeah,
organization was a tricky part to overcome. What was really, what helped you kind of get a little bit more organized? I'm the same way. Like I've invested tons of my time in it, trying to figure out how can I be more productive? How can I be more organized?
Yeah.
It takes kind of trial and error. So
it does.
What have you felt has like been a good way to help like organize, especially if you have a team and your personal life? What's the best way to kind of organize it?
So it was hard for me to find a software because I do wedding hair only. So I didn't need a whole booking software for like a salon.
Yeah.
And so I kept finding myself gravitating towards the wedding industry. So I've made like friends with a ton of wedding vendors. They do like, you know, warehouse rentals, things like that. And, you know, any kind of wedding vendor I've become friends with. So they kind of showed me how they ran their businesses. And again, full circle, like I networked, I met the right people, they were willing to help. And they just told me about a software, it's called HoneyBook. And so I use that to like organize everything. So it's just like a yearly fee. And then, do you know what HoneyBook is?
I haven't heard of it. I just wrote that down though.
It's really cool. You know, I've had a little bit of, it's a millennial, like it's a younger company. So they're really good at what they do. And the software is like, it's really cool. It's kind of like a 17 hats or whatever,
yeah.
But I just learned how to use it. And then it has all these custom packages you can send really nice and neatly to your brides. You know, they are a younger company, so they're learning as well. And yeah. So there were a couple things that really bothered me in the beginning, but they've worked out those kinks and now it's been really good. So I advertise on The Knot, and then I have, you know, emails that come through there. And then I just try to like keep everything in HoneyBook. So when I get emails from The Knot, I say, hey, you need to email you need to fill out our contact form, and then that will direct them to HoneyBook. So then everything is in one place.
Yeah.
And then after a week or so, if I don't respond or like whatever, HoneyBook will just email me and say, hey, it's been a while since this person's responded. Hey, this person never saw their brochure. Hey, this person, you know, and so it's great because it's like, okay, that's great. Now I can go through, I can follow up. If I haven't heard back from them in a month, then I'll just get rid of that email. Like, because with weddings, a ton of people are just price searching. They're not necessarily going to book you. Yeah. So you just kind of have to send them what you got and then just go from there. But that has been a lifesaver. And organizing for Instagram. So I make sure with all the girls that they get pictures the day of. That's really important to me. Because with photographers, you don't get pictures for a long time. Yeah. So if at all, so, I have them like take pictures and then I have them send them to me. So then I can have a week's worth of Instagram content for our page. And then that's organized, you know, just kind of keeping everything. That's how I've been doing things lately. And that's been really helpful. And then as far as like my Instagram goes, you know, I'll try to do a couple things in one day just to save up for, you know, post for that.
Right.
And then I can like pre-edit those and, or like edit all of those and like get them lined up and organized for the week. But
schedule them out in advance, like
I can, but when I get really excited about some styles, I just like really want to post them. Yeah. So I try to schedule them out, but I never usually do.
Yeah.
Just because I like to be on it. Yeah.
And so like, is there like a specific if we wanted to talk about maybe like your Instagram strategies, I think what do you really focus on? You said like you figured out hashtags and that really worked well for you. What do you kind of focus on as far as like is there maybe some good times that you post your content? Is there like a certain amount of content that you try to post per week? You kind of have like targets that you do like just for Instagram to make sure that you're keeping the activity up and keeping the engagement up?
Yeah. So I definitely always comment on like modern salon stuff and behind the chair. Like I said, being engaged and like socializing, everybody's watching. So, you know, I do that. And then I don't comment on something though if it's not authentic. If I don't really like something, I don't like it when people do that. Yeah. It just really bothers me.
Spamming a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, no. So then I basically, for my personal Instagram, I hashtag all the big companies that I want to see me, even some of the smaller ones. So I try to change them up each time because they definitely, the algorithm or something supposedly knows when you're just copying, pasting. Like, so I really try to go in and physically do it myself. And then, so I'll just, any kind of companies that I would love to brand for, that's who I'm tagging. I don't tag anyone that I'm not like, you know, into, even if it's for a repost, just because like, I want people to know what products I use and what stuff I like. So then, and then for like my Sweetly Pen hair and makeup account, I do a totally different realm. Like if it's something that I really think is unique and different, I will tag like Modern Salon in it and stuff, but I'm not trying to get brand deals. I'm trying to get brides. Yeah. So I will hashtag all the local areas, maybe even the venue or anything like that that's very specific to that person's wedding, because there's going to be how many other people that get married that year, you know, like at the same place, and they're going to be looking it up, and you want to make sure that you're on the top. So
That's interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't even think of, you know, kind of how much of an effect, you know, those hashtags, especially the geotagging would work, especially Forte. So, that's awesome. How did you figure a lot of that stuff out? Did you, kind of figure it out as you went? Do you have someone to learn from a little bit, or,
I'm still learning from it. But yeah, it's just been, I've made a ton of friends on Instagram that are all in the updo world and braid world. So we're all upstyle friends. Yeah. And they've taught me, everyone has taught me so much. So I can't take credit for any of the stuff I've learned. It's always been somewhere down the line. I was just at the right place at the right time, or I just made connections, genuine connections, and became friends with these people. You know, some of the best people I follow have become friends, and not even because, like, and we've all been growing together. And that's what I think is so cool, because, like, I've been there since day one. So they know that I'm not, like, just some, you know, person that's like, oh, you have a lot of followers, so I want to be friends. It's like, no, we've all been growing consecutively. And so I think it's great because we've just become friends. And, but yeah, as far as, like, posting goes, I've noticed recently that posting on Wednesday mornings is getting a ton of traction. Like, each post that I've posted on Wednesday morning lately has gotten, like, you know, my average is maybe 130 to 230 likes. Yeah. And anything on Wednesdays, I usually go above 230.
Really?
So I've been finding that even on my business page, I've been finding that. So I don't know what, I guess everybody's just on their phone on Wednesday mornings. Yeah. Like it's hump day. So they're just like, okay, I have nothing. I'm just over this week. Let me get on Instagram. And then Sunday mornings are really popular. Like I've heard that because people go out on Saturday nights and then they're laying in bed on Sunday, they don't feel good. They're on their phones.
I don't think like anyone should like only try to post at those times, but it's all about kind of like testing, you know?
And
like,
it is.
Instagram really is like the perfect ground for like, just like putting out content, seeing what, you know, gets engagement, especially with the place where you're at right now with you know, a lot of followers. You can see, you know, if you know that that's your average like count or something like that, like, kind of see, okay, so this one got a lot more likes.
Well, and it's a goal for me too. It's like setting personal goals. Like, what did people like about this? What, right. I mean, I love psychology. So I'm just like, I just eat it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, why do people like this? Like, why? I don't understand. So
and sometimes like you'll think a post maybe like awesome and then,
and it bombs.
It's like,
I know.
But I can completely relate. But let's maybe talk about, so how was there ever one point and shift that you made along your journey to where you're at now, that kind of like was like an aha moment, a moment where you really like figured something out that was kind of a missing puzzle piece to like accelerating you a little bit further? Does that make sense?
Kind of. I guess the aha moment would have been when I like figured out that I could do wedding hair, because I didn't know that you could do that. Yeah. So I was like, wait, what? You can go on site? And maybe like, I don't know. Can you reword it? I don't understand.
Just like, I think we all have a point in like our journeys, whether it be in business or life, that like, it's just kind of, you have something that like smacks you and you're like, whoa, like, why wasn't I doing this before? And do it and it works. You know, for me personally, I think, the biggest thing that, really shifted the way that we were able to accelerate in business is, probably the fact that if I could, stick to some good habits and stick to them every single day. And
get
time for myself, even if it's only like 30 minutes to an hour, where maybe I just kind of, tune out and maybe I listen to a podcast or something like that, or just kind of have some me time away from clients, away from, everybody else, where I just kind of, whether it be, I'm in the gym or something like that, I've got to have at least like an hour or two out of my day where I just kind of push it all away. Right. And I started doing that, and even having like, complete days where, I need to actually take, cut it off for a day, has really like completely shifted productivity, which is crazy because, I take a whole day where I don't do anything, whereas like for a while I was just every single day trying to whereas like when I started to take time off, I take a day off and then I come back and I'm like 10 times more productive.
Yeah. I would say I'm actually in the same boat right now, because I was just going. Last year I, because I'm still a secretary, I never really said that, but I'm still a secretary. So it's like, at night I really love spending time with my husband, and like I might get on my phone. He'll say that I'm on my phone all the time, but I really like to have us time and like just try to turn it off and like, yeah, and just kind of, and then if I go upstairs, like, cause I'm in my like studio, if I go upstairs to do hair and I'm not motivated, I never produce any good work. So it's really important for me to like, kind of just, and I don't really do anything before weddings, like the night before weddings. I really just try to like relax and not think about like too much, and just kind of look over the pictures again and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I always like to have some kind of like execution, like strategy the night before weddings, so that I don't feel stressed out and just kind of relax. But yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I like to, during the day I can kind of, I'm at my desk, so I can just like zone things out and just do my work. And then I get to turn on my creative side when I need to do it.
Yeah.
So
I think that's like, super important. It's like, in order for creativity to flow, like you have to really like, be doing things that are aside from like trying to be creative.
Yeah. And not even, and it doesn't even have to involve hair. Like I mean, there's things that I like to do. Like this year I made it a point, that I wasn't going to miss out on my summer. And I told my husband, like, I'm not booking every weekend in the summer. So I took off, I took off every Sunday actually. And we would go hiking and we went on a vacation, and I'm like, we have to have that, because last year I used all my vacation days and just said yes to everything hair related. I wanted to see how that would work out for me. And I was drained by the end of October, and I felt like I had no more stamina. And I told myself I'm not doing that ever again. So I think my mental capacity has to be, I didn't want to have a mental breakdown. So that's important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
I think like just touching a little bit more on that, like, some of my best like creative ideas come when like I'm doing something completely not related.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Every time for me.
And then I'll just, whoa, like I had this awesome idea. And then I'll think about it, and then I'll get home, and then maybe I'll work on it. But like, I'll still, it's super important to kind of have that balance, right?
Because it's like, what do you want to do? I mean, if you're laying on your deathbed, you don't want to look back and be like, what did I do all my life? I was on social media. Because the whole point of social media for me starting was my business now, and like just booking brides. Well, now I'm doing that. So it's like, do I want to look back? Like, I would love to have brand deals with people, with companies. But like, I also don't want to look back and just be like, that's what I did all the time, was just post on Instagram and like, or post wherever the next big thing is. I mean, you really do have to step back and be like, why did I start this? Yeah. And, and go over everything. Like,
yeah. People connect to the individual and the person. And like, even if it's, some of the biggest companies in the world, some of the most successful have like, that one evangelist or that one person.
Yeah.
Like, people connect with. And like,
really
more than anything about like that person's story and like their influence they have on others. And so like, even when it comes to the beauty industry, like, maybe it starts out where obviously you've got to get your foundation, you've got to get clients, and you've got to get awareness so that you're starting to get enough for it stable, but like,
right.
You don't want to get stuck only there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and too, like, and with social media, as far as like, because the same thing kind of applies for social media. If you don't want to get burnout on it, like if you're following only hair accounts, it's like you can only see so much of the same thing, because everyone's pretty repetitive, maybe in a different way, but whatever. So I do kind of like to branch out of the beauty world, and I really like to search other pages that aren't beauty related. Or maybe they are, I mean, more fashion focused or whatever, but like just things that are more unique that maybe other people aren't focusing on, so that I can be inspired, and get new ideas. And so Yeah, I mean, I think it goes in social media and in life. Like, you need to step away from whatever you're doing all the time and just, you know, look at something else.
Test the waters a little bit, you know.
Awesome. Yeah.
One question I had before, I kind of wanted to ask you some specific questions that we had a lot of people ask. What do you feel like, or what has been your number one accomplishment or achievement that you kind of experienced?
Well, the Modern Salon thing was a pretty big deal. And then Behind the Chair, being nominated twice for Behind the Chair was pretty big deal to me.
And what's that? Do you feel like that kind of, did that help your business and your brand?
I wouldn't say that it helps my business, like my hair and makeup business. I don't even know if half my brides know that I was doing that stuff. But it does help me branch more with where I want to go. So educating and branding, the companies that I want to work for really care about that kind of stuff. So yeah. So that's a pretty big achievement.
That's huge, obviously. But like, you know, it's more probably a personal accomplishment than anything. Cause now like,
it is.
You
know, yeah.
I get that recognition. Like obviously maybe, you know, your business and your clients maybe don't realize, deal, but like people in the industry know it's a big deal, right?
Yeah. Go back to the business. Well, and like kind of to come back to that, like this might be off topic, but I have become friends with a lot of big wigs on Instagram, but I've become friends with them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And what is so funny is how night and day it is. Like these people are so big on Instagram, but like they probably only have their close friends on Facebook. Yeah. And so they don't really get that many likes or anything. So I'm always like, okay, at the end of the day, like normal people that are outside of the beauty world don't care. Like they don't really get it. So it's so funny to me. It's like, here I am. I'm like, this is such a big deal. But then they're like, cool, congrats.
Really, like, I mean, you were just talking about like Facebook and Instagram and like, really, like, you don't have to be like huge on every platform.
Yeah.
There's enough people on each one of them to like, you're just to like focus on one, which is what I think other people should do. And what we try to help a lot of our clients that we work with do is like, you know, you can try to do 100 different platforms and, you know, try to post content all over the place, but like, that's going to make you less focused. It's going to make you less creative. It's going to make you unique. Whereas like, if you just take a platform, like kind of you have with like Instagram and like, that's really your focus and that's really
what
you do. You're able to, you know, build your following off there. And then, you know, maybe that branches into some other areas too, but
yeah.
Like, okay to, you know, just have your main bread and butter on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And, so yeah, 100%. But it is kind of funny, like people outside the industry, like big deals to people like us or you and things like that. Like it's more of a personal accomplishment than anything.
Yeah.
So like it can kind of take your career and to the next level.
Yeah.
You have that sense of credibility and you have accomplished things.
That's yeah.
And you can't automatically just, you know, hey, I'm on Modern 100, you know, it's a big deal. So congratulations.
Well, I did have two big accomplishments for Sweetly Pen Hair and Makeup. We got featured in Martha Stewart weddings last year and this year. So that was a really big deal for me. Yeah. So yeah, just personal goals, you know.
I mean, those things are super important. You gotta, all the hard work's gotta pay off somehow, right?
Yeah. And why not validation from people I don't know? I'm just kidding.
All right. So some of the questions, and we probably had talked a little bit about this already, but a lot of the questions I have received are, why is it a good idea to specialize? And is it, how do you figure out what you should specialize in? What kind of, for you personally, like what made you want to say like, I'm going to do
Cause like braids were really big. They're really big all over Instagram. And while I love a good braid, I just was like, that's not where my heart is. Like, I think, you know, everyone knows what their specialty is because they know what they're good at. Whatever you're good at, that's your specialty and you should just focus on it. And then you can expand as you get better because you could even learn a new technique from what you're specializing in and be like, look, I found this new technique and nobody else will know it, and they want to know too. So then all of a sudden you go viral. Yeah. I've seen it happen to like every single one of my friends. So that's why I just was like, I really want to specialize in updos because braiding is such a big thing, but I could tell that it's forced. Like when I do it, it feels forced because I didn't even know how to braid in beauty school. I just like learned on myself one night. And after that, I was like, brides are going to want it. So I'm going to have to know how to braid. So I just kept practicing on my mannequin and stuff. And then I still incorporate a lot of braids in my styles, but I'm just really into like, there's just a ton of like Russian hairstylists that are really, really good at updos. And so I just really like their stuff and that's where my passion is. So
yeah, I think that's the answer right there. Like you have to something that you're passionate about, something that you want to do, and like you can probably start in one market and then like kind of create your own,
market
in that, and then become the best in there, right?
Yeah,
like, that's how people can really
start. But what sets you apart ultimately is your personality.
Yep.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what everything comes back to, especially if you're trying to grow your following. That's like your personality is what defines you.
Right? People have to connect with the person behind the chair too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Another question. So when it came to building your team, have you ever had an issue with like a team member who maybe was like a thorn in your side at some time that you had to deal with? Or how do you kind of make sure that managing your business and your team doesn't get in the way of, you know, maybe the home life inside? Like, I think like a lot of people, like a lot of the questions we receive,
take their work home with them.
And they get really stressed out about like, I don't know how to like train my team. I don't know how to keep
them
engaged. Like, how do I motivate them? What have you kind of done to make sure?
Well, my husband is in a similar position, not hair related, but like he's in a similar position where he was in charge of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so he likes to really talk to me about like that kind of stuff. I think, you know, he always likes to share his input as well. But so that hasn't been a problem, like bringing it home necessarily, because he'll just tell me how he would handle it. But like, I think I tried to just compartmentalize it and just like put it to the side and then ask someone else, almost like a, you know, I'm an adult, but where's my mom kind of thing. I'll ask a lot of my friends who are in the same positions, like, how would you handle this?
Yeah.
But only people that I really trust, because, you know, I don't want anyone to slander my name or anything like that. But I think, and there's nothing, there should be no shame in asking questions too, to someone who's already been there and done that. So, you know, I've asked, I'm friends with just like a lot of wedding vendors. And so I'll just be like, I'm having this problem. Do you know how you handle that in your business? And then see if there's some way that I can, that, like, that's how I found out about HoneyBook, because I was having so many problems organizing with a team. And so that wasn't really my team's fault. That was on me. I'm learning. So just kind of talking and figuring it out with other people. And then if that doesn't work, Google is great to ask questions to.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing, right?
I Google, why am I falling apart? I'm just kidding. If I have a problem, there have been situations that have occurred with, you know, girls on my team, and they're very far and few in between, but I, address them immediately. I don't play games. And so I just call them. I say, I have your best interest at heart. And if you're feeling this type of way, please tell me. I try to give you outs. And kind of like I told you earlier, like, there's just that mutual respect. So they know if I'm frustrated about something, because they know how much work it is. I mean, we're all in this together. So they'll know. And then they'll usually say something about it, like, I understand what you're going through. And then I'll say, I understand what you're going through as well. But yeah, I mean, addressing the problem is the only way it's going to get solved.
Yeah. You can't understand that, you know, like, problems don't solve themselves. Right. And like, it's all in the relationship. You have to make sure that, like, like, having a team, like, that you guys are all like there for the same purpose. You're all there.
Yeah.
You're all, you know, part of one big team, right?
Right. So, exactly. Like, and if you're not, then you can just skedaddle.
If someone like messes that up, like, even I've had the case, like, sometimes you just have to let them go. You know, if there's one person who, you know, maybe isn't the best fit for everyone else, and like always is kind of being, you know.
Or if someone like stops growing, you know, like, you know, you just have to, you have to do it.
Absolutely. 100%. Last real question that I did want to ask you, and we already talked about like Instagram and some of what you do for content and things like that. If you could provide like one key tip or one thing that's really been the most useful for you as far as producing good content and or at least managing like your following, like what is like one key tip you could give people out there who maybe need a little bit of help with their social following?
To stay consistent and don't give up.
Yeah.
This is going to be like three things, and respond as soon as people respond to, like, as soon as someone comments on your stuff. The whole point of social media is to be social and engaged. So you need to be writing back to that person. Thank you. And you know, what I've been doing lately is, going through, if someone's going to take the time to comment on my stuff and actually like comment, you know, not just a, oh, that's so pretty. Like, I love that. I love that arrangement in the hair or something. I go to their page and I will really look at their stuff. I want to know who's following me. So, you know, and why they like my stuff. And so, you know, there was someone who commented on my post yesterday, and I was like, I went to her page and she had really pretty pictures. And I'm just like, I love your fall pictures. Like, those are so cute. everybody just wants to, you know, we all want to be liked at the end of the day, right? We all want to know that we're good enough. And if, you know, I think that people,
I think so many people, we just get so caught into using like social media as like just entertainment. Whereas like, yeah, it really is a way that you can like connect with people and like build,
yeah,
relationships, and like, you may, you know, get business out of it too, you know, just by, yeah, doing the things you just said, like replying, yeah, and, you know, commenting on posts and things like that. You know, yeah, a lot of our business has come literally from just being in the group and commenting on something and, you know,
yeah,
the conversation, right? And so like, yeah, consistency, I think, is key to, like, I think what we try to say is like, spend just 30 minutes to an hour of your day, block it out, and just go and do some activity, you know,
yeah,
liking, responding,
yeah,
that day. Like, you know, if you can keep consistent with doing that every day, then like, it's going to start to steamroll, right? But yeah, awesome. I think we got a lot of value out here today.
Good.
But I think it's going to be real helpful for a lot of people who are maybe either just starting out, or maybe they're like, you know, yeah, feeling like they're a little bit stuck as far as like, what do I do to kind of, you know, get past the step that I'm at, start to build a little bit of traction in the business. And I think it's going to help a lot of
people out. But, good. I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell everyone where they could maybe go follow you or find you on Instagram. Is Instagram the best place to find you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm at Carolee Styles. It's Carolee like Sara Lee, but I don't bake. I cut hair. And so yeah, Carolee Styles is my personal. And then my business is Sweetly Pinned Hair and Makeup. Yeah. On Instagram. And then pretty much everywhere. I'm on Facebook with my company name on there too. So.
All right. Go connect, guys. Awesome. Thank you so much, Carolee. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.